One person says here that you can't speak of growth before stabilizing, and we haven't stabilized the economy as yet. And this is what the IMF program has to address first and foremost. The person says it is time to stop fooling ourselves and to stabilize the economy. Some people will have to go. I think it's more than just stabilizing, though. It's a question of what has been called for many years, which is the restructuring of this Barbados economy. The idea of dealing with stenotypists, for instance, in the public service is really part of that kind of restructuring that you're talking about. Is it fit for purpose? Can we continue to if you run it exclusively on the notion of sentimentality, and that's what politicians do a lot of, then you can find yourself just going over the same problem time and time again. That's why people say situations like this call for political will, because you know there is going to be some political impact. It is also the reason why, generally speaking, political parties impose these measures early in their term so that you can get some time to be able to, you know, adjust and then be able to see to what extent you can ease the pressure because you have been able to effect some kind of growth. But it doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Any thoughts, Guy Hewitt?
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I don't think that it is a question of either or, that you have to stabilize before you look at growth. It's like in a domestic situation, you see leaks in your roof. There's a point at which you say, well, we have to stop trying to patch and we've got to put on a new roof. We have got to look now urgently at what are the opportunities to create economic growth in our economy, whether it is the expansion of the tourism sector. There was a large, the Pierhead Development Program that was supposed to transform Bay Street, of which we know Hyatt was supposed to be a first step in that direction, which would significantly increase the number of rooms in Barbados, create employment through constructions and thereafter through an enhanced tourism industry. These are things that I know the government is talking about and is looking at, but they have to happen alongside or in tandem with any stabilization
program. The only point that I want to make on that is that the Pierhead development, as originally envisaged, did not have Hyatt in it. Hyatt was a second project that was put on the table. But the Pierhead, as I understand it, would have been much bigger, far more massive.
Well, it's the entire strip. And this is what I am saying, that Barbados has, I think, with a carefully, sustainably, eco-friendly strategy, can use Bay Street, where I would argue Browns Beach being now one of the best beaches in the world, to be able to put that into a multi-use facility of accommodation for visitors, residents for locals, restaurants, for families, and create a facility that takes Barbados beyond what we currently offer in tourism and move it into the 21st century.
But my question is this. How do you proceed to develop Browns Beach in that way? And you haven't cleaned up the problem at the old mobile refinery. I mean, you know, there was no discussion whatsoever about that problem and how it has persisted and the threat that it poses to the very Browns Beach development. Yeah?
And these are the things that we need to have a discussion around. Agreed.
Yeah. Down to brass tacks. Hello. Good morning.
No, about the NRSL taking off the things in the supermarket and why they are still so high. Is there no control, no policing, nothing? I think prices are really high in the absence of the NRSL.
But you don't believe that has a lot to do with Barbadian consumer behavior, that no matter what the prices are, Barbadians tend to go and buy the items. We don't boycott anything. We don't think
But I think that's the whole problem. We need to boycott. We need
We want somebody else to impose it for us, and that's not going to happen.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly, because, I mean, we claim to say the NRSL off, but I have not seen the effect of the NRSL being off. I still see prices really sky high.
And the people who are running the business enterprises don't do too good a job of explaining to people what is causing the prices to be as high as they are. I mean, I've seen people talk about what's happening in the tariff war between the United States and China, for instance, shipping rates, the rising price of oil. All of these are factors that also go into why the prices are as high as they are. But that's not for us to explain. It is for the business people to be involved in the process of helping you to understand what is going on. Look, in the same way that the government of Barbados is trying to communicate with the public, I think that it is setting an example to everybody right across the board that whether it is the private sector communicating with the public as well, or people communicating within government departments and within private companies, that this whole process of communication, it is very important. And that's why I call upon the people who are involved. I mean, they could get together and they could draft statements and that sort of thing and put them out to the public. But they do little or nothing and absorb all of the blows, and the impression is conveyed that they're ripping off the public. Yes, Dr. Brassatz.
Hello.
Yeah, morning.
I can communicate. I think I'll be talking to you all the time. I communicating with you. I can click you. It can make a difference. Why do you put so much emphasis? Why do you make such an important deal about talking, and when it's actions that people should be judging other people on? It is what you do.
I'm not the only person. The very fact that you call us as regularly as you do suggests that you also believe in it.
I call you twice a week, my friend, so you're just as guilty as me.
You believe in it.
And you can't pay for it. No, because, you know, as I've said,
you might get paid too.
That, you know, it's a good thing to vent. You communicate to vent. I don't communicate to make a change. But truth be told, if it is that you think that by talking you can actually fix something, something gotta be wrong with that particular perspective, because it never does.
So why do you talk?
Well, this is a place we've been talking for 30 years and nothing ain't changed really.
Why are you talking now?
I am talking because I need to have something understood whereby, you know, you, at least hopefully you would recognize that what you have said really truly don't really hold much weight. So I know it's probably just I'm wasting my time, okay? Because you can still come with the same argument again next week. But so what? I mean, if I got a couple minutes to waste, well, why not? Here's the thing. Let's compare. No. Before I hit that, you got a new person there now, who probably will be a moderator as well, to defending or trying to find some way to throw up defense as to decisions that have been made and probably will be made going forward. The thing about it is that when you start to adjust, you have to do so with a sense of genuine purpose. If the government is expensive, you need to deal with the costs. And the costs do not necessarily involve the sending home of people. And the problem should be addressed in such a way that those who will be sent home will be at least be brought up to speed as to what the various costs are and why it is that the item called salaries is being targeted first before the other costs. Now, they've got a lot of costs in government that we're not familiar with, and they're hidden for some reason. The guy that is next to you was never really in cabinet, but he probably was close enough to recognize what those costs are, and he's not even prepared to come and say what they are. And I really have a difficulty when you start targeting people. I want to compare the governance model with the courts. You got to compare them because they are both very expensive to run. They're both steeped with ceremony, pomp and ceremony, employing very expensive people. They both promise a hell of a lot, deliver very, very little, and target small people all the time. They're very effective when it comes to dealing with small people. But when it comes to a true delivery of service, beyond that, they fail miserably. And the one common denominator between the governance model and the courts that we have right now to deal with is that lawyers have designed both. And they make a healthy living out of both. Irrespective of all of the shortcomings, all of the criticisms, they still continue to make a healthy living. Now, we can look at government and say, hey, you know, we got a lot of people in there that are not fit for purpose. That is true all the way through, from the design of the parliament to the need for a Senate in the first place, as it is right now, for an, even a need for what they call this tripartite arrangement. If you had a properly designed Senate, for argument's sake, you will need no tripartite nothing, because the tripartite is an insult to private sector people. They got a variety of private sector people with a variety of interests that conflict with each other. But you can put them all under one head. I'll call that the private sector group. And the same is true perhaps for the public sector. A properly designed Senate would go well beyond this tripartite foolishness. Every time you hear me speak, I think, man, why are you actually talking on my behalf? Because you're not speaking for me. I don't know how a banker could speak for a retailer or a retailer could speak for a manufacturer. It'd be all so different. But you continue with that because lawyers design are there too. We got design issues that need, you want to target people and say, oh, it's because of fit for purpose. Fit for purpose goes from top complete to the bottom. And as usually targeting the small people first. And that is so wrong. Now, I don't know what this guy that you're bringing on now is going to do or say to make things any different. I don't get very much out of him in that regard. But I personally would like to know how much money is being spent on lawyers every year from the government.
Let me see if we can get a comment from the gentleman.
Brother, I hear your passion.
He's Reverend Hewitt.
And I understand or I get a sense that you are grieved by the process that is going on. And this is where we start off by understanding that what we are going through now is a very painful exercise.
For whom? It is painful for the nation.
It is painful for anyone who has a social conscience. It is painful for anyone who cares about the people of Barbados. So what I'm saying is, what you are trying to put out there, and I agree with you, that there must be a transparent and open process. One of the things that Barbados did when it went through its last adjustment process is to establish this tripartite arrangement where you were able to come together and agree on certain principles that allow the country to address the challenges it faces. And what you are asking the question, it should not be just about small people. And I think everybody agrees with that. There's going to have to be a looking, as we had heard before, of the consolidation of certain agencies. Some of the agencies that people have been questioning for a long time, whether they serve a purpose anymore, whether they were created during an era of economic growth, of expansion, of populism, of inclusion, whether those may have to go and persons within it. So we have to wait because we are still, in my opinion, at the beginning of the adjustment process and really get the detail before we judge whether whom in fact it is targeting and how many of us are going to pay the price, because all of us are carrying this burden together.
Down to Brass Tacks, we're coming right back. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, sir.
Yes. I think the good reverend might be wrong when he stated that in the 90s, there was no laying off. He said that there was no laying off. But there were layoffs as well as the 8% cut.
Agreed. Sorry, if you got the sense I was saying there was no laying off. I said that's one of the reasons why the social partnership was established in the 90s, so that the three major sectors came together, try to see how they could together address the economic challenges we were facing.
But I thought you distinctly said that instead of layoffs, that there was a 8% cut. But my recollection is that 8% cut was tied with devaluation. So I just want to make a correction. That
No, point taken. Agreed.
Yeah. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks. Down to Brass Tacks, hello.
Yes, I'm here.
You're on the air.
I'm here.
Yes.
Am I next?
Yes. You're on now.
Good morning to you, Mr. Ellis.
Yes.
And your guests.
Morning.
First, I want to compliment you, Rev, for your work in England. And I'm sure that you have caused an awareness to something that was not there for many, many years. So I want to compliment you having to have the eye of the Prime Minister of England in your move. But there's some questions I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Okay. One of the, were you supported? I know that we are part of the Commonwealth Association. And I also know that there's several other diasporas in UK. Were you supported in your fight for the recognition by other countries? I have not seen the other Caribbean countries stretch out to support you. So if I didn't, and it was so, if you can kindly alert us to the fact that it was not a single fight for Barbados, but it was a fight for the Caribbean in terms of the third and fourth generation in England. That's the first question. And first, let me compliment you because I know your livestock. I know you're out of a very respectable family in Barbados. And I also know that your father served this country extremely well during his time. So I know that you're in good waters. But let me ask you another
question. Sharp contrast to other people, right?
Huh?
And as in sharp contrast to other people who didn't come from such good stock.
No. Please don't get me wrong, Mr. Ellis. If I know of you, then I can't talk of you in death. I have to talk of you in life.
Okay.
And I'm saying this because...
Don't worry, I just understood. I just make any point.
Okay. First question, I don't know if you want to give the answer for me, Rev, in relation
yes,
to
I'm happy to. It was a CARICOM effort. We worked together as high commissioners from the Commonwealth Caribbean countries. I would have to admit that Barbados did lead the charge, but I was supported and I would recognize the work of the High Commission and the High Commissioner from St. Kitts and Nevis, who really worked very closely with me as we put the engagement strategy together. But we were supported by all of the countries within CARICOM, whom when we launched the strategy on the 12th of April, it was the first time in the UK that all of the CARICOM missions, high commissioners, stood together and with one voice said, this needs to be addressed.
I'll be honest with you, coming across media-wise, and this is in fairness to what I have been reading, because I've got the English connection as well, that it seemed to me as if there was only one area of fight. But you've just answered that, so I don't need to go over it again. The other question, out of the three questions, would be, would you say that the future government should continue this effort in the acknowledgement because of the returning nationals of many of those people who you would have fought for have now returned to some of their respective territories in the region? Would you say that this fight should be carried on for the third or fourth generation as far as they're concerned?
Yes, we are looking after our diaspora. And our diaspora does not just involve those people born in Barbados or born in the Caribbean, but we are talking about their children and their children's children. And they become part of us. For those who are the first generation, as you may be aware, constitutionally, they become citizens by descent. I mean, my desire would be that we could do a double generation offer now where grandchildren of Barbadians could at least be entitled to residency, because we recognize now we are a country that is 50 plus years old and our diaspora is getting longer and getting deeper. But we have to continue. And I know that the High Commissions in the United Kingdom for the region are continuing to work together, continuing to work with the UK government, with the Home Office, to try to ensure that justice is realized for all of those people affected. But now the issue is compensation, because as you would be aware, some people lost their jobs, lost their homes, some people were detained, some people were deported. There was considerable harm done to West Indians who gave their lives to the United Kingdom, and that still needs to be put right.
I want to compliment you on your work, sir, and I want to ask you a question. You don't need to answer this one now. You can probably think of it and answer it coming on to the end of the program. Do you have any political inclinations for Barbados? Is electoral politics?
I would say my ambition has always been to serve the public. I've only ever worked in the public sector, but I have never had political ambitions. But the truth is, wherever to date I have been asked to go in the interests of Barbados, once I am convinced that there is a need for it, I am willing to so give it consideration.
That sounds like a yes to me.
So that I am saying that, you ask if I have political ambitions. No. Do I want to serve Barbados the best I can? Most certainly,
that's,
yes.
That, you know, another way of putting that is, if they beg me hard enough, I will say yes. We're coming right back.
Those are your words, David.
It's a showtime weekend at Courts. Lights, camera, savings. When you spend $799.99 and over, you get 60% off credit purchases, 24 months or more, and 40% off cash. The more you shop, the more you save. And don't forget, shop and pay nothing down and nothing paid for 90 days. You also get a chance to win a part of $50,000 in cash and prizes. Special terms and conditions apply. Courts, bringing value home. The Ministry of Education, Technology and Vocational Training's social event LIME that was scheduled to take place today, Friday, October 19th, has been rescheduled to Friday, October 26th at the LC Payne Complex, Constitution Road, St. Michael, starting at 2 p.m. The event is part of activities to mark Education Month this October.
Down to brass tacks. Good morning. It's morning 12 minutes you, after Dave. 11.
Morning to you, David.
Yes, morning.
I'm Mr. Hewitt.
Good morning.
Yeah. David, what I wanted to talk about this morning, I wanted to ask you this question first. Do we trim a tree from the top first or the bottom?
Well, you usually trim a tree from the top, right?
Okay. All my years of working in the hotel industry, whenever we are doing awards or anything, even though everyone's supposed to be a staff member who's on the roll, they normally reward the ones who toil and slave morning, noon, and night for the company, those who they call the foundation of the company, like the ordinary workers who make sure that the guest is comfortable and they are always interacting with them. My challenge is, as the gentleman was saying earlier, is I find in the international countries, they trim from the top. I find in Barbados, especially where we live, we always seemingly try to trim from the bottom. Then to recognize that everything collapses in the end because we didn't take the necessary precautions of understanding that who runs the companies is the ones that we choose that are the qualified ones and the ones that we think are capable of doing so. So I think when anything falls up or anything happens that is disastrous, that they're the ones who should feel the weight.
Are you sure, though, that you can apply that across the board in Barbados? This country has been going through so-called right-sizing and restructuring in the private sector for many years now. And I can tell you that there are a lot of people at the top and in the middle who have been casualties of it.
Yeah, but that situation will come with great compensation, as well as with deals that are at the top with the full knowledge of what is going on behind closed doors, and they are able to prepare themselves even long before.
But you see, you are introducing now some other dimensions to it, but you are conceding that it is not accurate to say that across the board in this country, it is only the people at the bottom who are touched.
No, when I say across the board, I know in majority cases it is, so it has to be across the board. Whether there is a minority, which we would know would be exception to the rule, that is given, but they are also given great packages and great opportunities.
But isn't it logical that the people who are in the majority and the ones who may be deficient in certain skills would certainly be the first people to be touched? Isn't that a norm?
No, because you can't be deficient in certain skills when you are the foundation of the company. Well, and the reason I'll say that, right?
The foundation of the company. Let me say something to you that is often ignored in all of this. I'm not going to not workers in the country at the middle, the bottom, or at the top. But I will say this. With every right that you believe a people or a person is entitled to, there is also a responsibility. And we should not be looking at this in any one-sided way, because many people in Barbados are worried about the Barbadian work ethic.
And I agree, about the culture,
how the culture has changed. And in many respects, it appears to have changed not for the better. So you with workers, we have to be looking at more than one aspect of the problem. It is one thing to say you are entitled to keep a job. But I saw something on social media yesterday, floating all over the place, in which somebody claimed that they were an MTW worker. How they were told to sabotage this and sabotage that. They used to go and drink rum and all sorts of stuff. You saw that?
No, I didn't get to see that.
But that is the kind of thing that you're talking about, right?
Yeah,
and that came across as though if it's authentic, it wasn't coming from somebody at the top. It was coming from somebody at the bottom.
Yeah, but that's not the norm. I think what I'm speaking about, Dave, is like, if you, for instance, understand that this is not something where we could say is one-sided, in this situation, you would know if you do your homework. This is one-sided, though, in the beginning. We don't know what the final analysis would be. But at this particular point in time, I'm not saying at all that workers should be guaranteed any job, because for me, that is thinking, you know, a bit in the box. You got to think outside the box. But the fact of the matter is that for years, as I observe in this country, that we tend to attack the bottom too often when we should be showing the example. Look, you see, you was in charge. So you will go, and then we will deal with those who were not efficient or effective. That is what I can deal with, and that's why I'm talking about. I'm not saying nobody should be guaranteed who is not doing what they're supposed to be doing any job.
If I could interject here, I think what is going to happen, and I don't want to presume to know what the strategy is, but there are, as was raised earlier on the program, some clear functions or tasks that are now redundant or largely redundant. And those stand out and can be addressed fairly quickly or easily. I shouldn't say easily because it is painful and difficult for those who have to do the cutting and those who get cut. But what you have to do usually at middle and senior levels is about consolidating of tasks and functions, so that where you may have individuals who are there in surplus to requirement, those can be identified through processes. Usually you have to do some kind of job assessment, some kind of determination of efficiencies, and that I anticipate will follow on. What we are seeing now are the exercise identifying, or the system throwing up, those persons or those tasks that they feel now can most easily be identified as surplus to requirement, as redundant, and they are addressing them in the first instance.
Down to brass tacks at 11:23 in the morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, welcome.
Dennis.
Hi.
First time caller.
Good to have you.
So, I'm a concerned motorist. There's a stretch of road between the Simpson Motors roundabout and the one up the top of the Carrots of Jackson. There's a lot of bush in that area. As a motorist, coming from, I just cannot see the pedestrian crossing. If someone on the crossing, you coming down, the crossing that leads to the Jaffet area, you only see the person when you get on the crossing. And when you're going east, it's the same thing. Any motorist, I believe, can see over 2 feet. Yes, to beautify the place is good, but they can beautify the flowering plants, not trees. And in the roundabouts across the island, this tall bush that you can't see around the roundabout, I believe that you should be able to see across the roundabout. So you can see traffic as it flow. I figure on this program it carries a lot of weight, and the authorities to listen.
I didn't notice the particular problem that you have referred to. Are you talking about what they have on the island in the middle?
Yes,
sir. Some of the grasses. Okay, so if a person is coming from, let's say, the other side of the street, you will only see them when they come, when they are on your side.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. So before somebody get killed, I ask the authorities humbly to get before to cut them things at least down to 2 feet, or they get them a plant flower implant.
All right. Well, thank you very much for drawing it to our attention. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and you?
Tell me something, Mr. Ellis. Like one first question. Mm-hmm. You know the 10% that was restored by the last administration?
Yeah.
What is the position of the BLP government right now?
The Barbados Labour Party government?
Yes, ma'am.
After the increase the salaries of public servants by 5%,
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm aware, that was done away with.
So, no, the 10% that was...
The 10%, which means that they get their 10% now.
So they're getting the 10% back by the plus the 5%?
Yes, that's my understanding.
So why they can't have the full 15%?
You got to ask them.
Oh, go ahead, sorry. Because remember they said that the government was wrong, last government was wrong to restore it.
Well, that's your view. So what is your recommendation to them?
So if they were saying that the government was wrong to restore it, they shouldn't take it. They shouldn't even take the 5%. And the last one, because you can't answer that one, the land tax.
Well, it isn't for me to answer, you know.
Okay, land tax. When you send a land tax bill and you got to get 10% discount, you got to pay by the 24th of October, and people don't get paid monthly before the 25th and the 26th. So why don't they change the date to accommodate people that will get paid in time to pay and get the 10%? Because you say things hard. Change the date from October 24 to October 31. Because you're really serious about this thing, about things hard, and you're trying to look out for the poor people and so on.
All right. So
you understand what I'm saying?
I understand.
How many people in Barbados paid monthly get paid by the 24th of October? Think about it.
Yeah, that's something for the authorities to think about. All right, thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air? Any thoughts, Guy Hewitt, on that? We talked also, we're talking a little bit about, if we look at Singapore a lot, huh?
Yes, well, Barbados has always spoken as, well, we know that Errol Barrow always spoke very fondly of Singapore, because it was a country he was familiar with. His first prime minister and him were good friends. And he always saw, I wouldn't say a model, but a strategy there that he thought Barbados could look at as a similar small island developing state.
And what do you see as
I had the opportunity to visit last year, and I would say in terms what struck me is an attitude of constant re-engineering that the Singaporean government, society, the culture, the psyche of the people was that they were vulnerable, but that they were determined to find strategies to ensure that they were resilient. So for instance, it is a water scarce country. They were required, at one time they were dependent on getting water from Malaysia, which is the adjoining country, and Singapore initially was part of a wider federation with Malaysia, to ensure that they no longer are vulnerable in terms of water resources. They are able to recover and capture every drop of water through their system, which is including a sewage treatment process that the end product is what they call new water, which is water that can be bottled and is clean to drink. It's a level of efficiency, innovativeness of a country, as I say, not bigger than Barbados, that has the attention of the world. And I keep saying that Singapore says it does not hold itself as a model, but it provides a standard there that we could easily seek to emulate.
Of course, there has been a lot of discussion in Barbados, too, about how we fight corruption. What have you seen in Singapore?
Well, I had the opportunity while I was there to meet. We were on a study fellowship facilitated by the Singaporean government to meet with what they call the Corrupt Practices Investigation Bureau. And the director pointed out a number of high-profile convictions, incarcerations that they did to persons to really send a clear signal that they have zero tolerance with corruption in the public and private sectors, but went on to say that he reports, as the director of the Bureau, reports directly to the Prime Minister, except when he is investigating the Prime Minister, then he reports to the President. The point he was making is that nobody was above the law, and this society has this strong sense that there is transparency, there is accountability, there is integrity, and that has had a huge impact on the level of efficiency of their public sector.